Hey, it's Sean Fennessy. We've got something special cooking on the Prestige TV podcast. I'll be recapping one of my favorite shows, HBO's Barry, every Sunday night with the writer-director star of the show, the great Bill Hader. We'll talk about the show's wild twists and turns, its special brand of dark comedy, and how it all came together. So on Sunday nights, immediately after a new episode airs, you can hear Bill and I break it all down on the Prestige TV pod. Subscribe on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Listeners, welcome. This is Sound Only. I'm Justin Chan.
And I'm Micah Peters.
We're your Sound Only hosts, here to record our deepest, darkest thoughts each week about what? About the millennial lifestyle, millennial concerns, anime, video games, hip-hop, R&B, Doja Cat, anime. I said anime already. We're talking about anime.
Anime.
This is an anime episode.
Anime, man.
It's been a minute.
It's not a while.
We talked about Demon Slayer.
It's an anime episode.
We had to catch up.
That was a while ago. Yeah, but it's another anime episode, y'all. We're talking about Ranking of Kings finally, and Spy Family, which is currently airing. I think Ranking of Kings wrapped up in late March, early April. Spy Family is currently airing. It is absolutely delightful. Like, I was having a legitimately bad day before I started watching the show.
Talk about your bad day.
And I think it might have turned around. No, like, it was just like, it's not, I didn't really get to, like, I've just been bouncing back and forth across time zones, like, because I flew to the opposite coast for a friend of mine from college's wedding. It wasn't even like we did anything the second day we were there in town. I just couldn't manage to get to sleep the second night. And then we woke up and flew back this morning, and, like, it was just... It's just flying, man. So going to the airport, it's just a chore. And then sat down to watch some of the Spy Family because Jess was just like, you know, like, I think I'm going to catch up on the show today. We should talk about it, so on and so forth. And I'd watched, like, I'd sort of had the first episode in the background. Like, it's a nice, like, vibe. It's a good hang. Like, the soundtrack is good. The voice acting is very... I guess, like, I want to say intimate, like, the same feeling of, I want to say that we described this in a different show before, but, like, that the characters are actually sitting around a table reading it to each other.
Yeah.
Or, like, at least in the same place or being able to see each other's reactions, which is, like, a tangible thing in a show that, I had only watched the first episode, and the setup is, like, completely ridiculous. Sort of like the Kusuke Ono Way of the House Husband thing, where it's just, like, a super serious, like, main character that, like, it's so serious. It's so self-serious that it's, you can't, like, consciously, you know, put any real, like, even though the stakes are, you know, the fate of the country.
Yes.
Because his spy craft is involves stealing pictures back of elected officials with their toupees off, and somehow that keeps the entire democracy from falling.
Yeah, you know,
but these are the kinds of jobs that he does. His mains, but like the, like it's, even though like there are action sequences in which there are scores of bodies, it's not like it's impossible to take any of it seriously because of his internal monologue and the introduction of this young girl, Anya, who he needs to adopt as his daughter for his cover. And he needs to find a wife also by the end of the week. By the end of episode one, Kent, she's a telepath. So like, it's this really funny thing where she's trying to win his approval, but also doesn't want to scare him off by letting him know that she's a telepath, but also he's scary in his own right. And that's sort of the uneasy like relationship that develops between all the main characters. And it's so wholesome. Yeah, that's what my afternoon was like. I watched some of Spy Family and now I feel better.
Can I say about Spy Family too? I think I'd first heard about Spy Family, I think Meals maybe, like listening to the Lookout Pod from people reading the manga of Spy Family, right? And then I'd see it whenever I went and I was like getting new volumes of Chainsaw Man.
Yeah.
I kept looking at it on the shelf. And it was one of those, it's one of those things that as a manga, right, I couldn't tell if it was either going to be super goofy, because if you just look at the volume covers, it, you know, it's like such a mismatched family, right? So it's like, okay, is this super goofy or is this going to be the kind of thing that plays it super duper straight? And I never read any of the manga, but I started watching the show, right? On the recommendation of a lot of people. I finally was like, I'm a get into Spy Family anime, right? And the word you use, wholesome, right, is totally it. Like they just, it is the perfect balance of goofy, straight, and oh, actually they sell the family dynamic so well.
Earnest. It's so earnest.
Yeah. Like,
it's so earnest. Okay. So Twilight is our main character. This is the spy, our James Bond.
Right.
You know,
they make all the Bond references in this. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. He's James Bond. Twilight is James Bond. So Twilight needs to just kind of figure out how to make this Anya thing work. And the first day with her back from the orphanage ends with him barricading her inside behind a freezer and just being like, hey, I'm going to go out for a really long time. Just don't touch anything until I get back. And then him having to acquiesce and, hey, this parenting thing is probably going to be harder than I thought. So then it's like parenting becomes like, I don't know, say, the unscalable thing in the show.
Yeah.
Like it's like the achieving some sense of normalcy with all of these disparate, weird characters. And when the show manages to do it, like when they have Anya has cocoa and then the wife has tea and he has black coffee and they sit around a table and they just breathe together, it's so nice.
It's also that to your point about Twilight has to just make it work. He has to make Anya work. He has to make the assassin chick
work.
Yeah. And it's like, it's just, you remember when he first goes, when he's in the orphanage and he really, in his eyes, like the way he's styled right in the beginning before he even gets to the orphanage is very, you know, like we said, it's Bond with an emphasis on the, I'm a bachelor doing cool shit. I wear all the disguises. I'm untouchable. I'm riding around in the nice whip. Right. And then he's on the train, you know, and he gets that call and he's like, by the way, you need to adopt a kid.
If you get shot in the leg, I'll leave you. Yeah. It's like, he's very like, people, things, clothes, faces, personalities are disposable to me, until he's just kind of like, you have to be kidding me.
Yes.
You got to be kidding me. In a week, I have to develop emotions? Which, you know, like the thing is that like he had them all along, obviously. The show, you know, comes to show you. But
yeah.
The setup is that he's going to return Anya back to the orphanage as soon as his mission is achieved. Which the mission is getting Anya into school, into this really prestigious school, Eden College, so that Anya can get into the inner circle of the child of a magistrate, so that some guy named Desmond, so that Twilight can assassinate him, and then the mission will be achieved, and then he can return Anya back to the orphanage. But like, you as the viewer are constantly weighing whether or not that's actually possible. You know, would he actually do that? And I don't believe it for a second. I don't know about you.
Yeah, somebody who's not caught up on the manga, I'm just for now going to go with, of course not, right? Okay. First of all, I want to posit two things. One, did we talk about the last Daniel Craig James Bond movie? Did we do an episode about that, or did I hallucinate that?
Yes, we did. Yeah,
so
we did.
That's the kind of Bond.
Like, it was a little weird that, yeah, it's like, it's this is the kind of Bond where he's just kind of like, oh, you have my eyes because I was sad too once.
And then he just ghosts on his family at the end of that movie. And it's like, Spy Family's kind of like, what if Daniel Craig's Bond didn't die at the end of No Time to Die and instead had to sort of like make his family work? But also, yo, this show, again, it's sort of, it's that very anime bullshit ingredient. Like, it's a very anime bullshit recipe of like, what if a family, but the guy is a spy and he adopts the girl as cover and she's super shibi and cute, and then the wife is an assassin. You know, it's that kind of anime bullshit, right? But then you get to the scene. Oh my God, the scene of the interview for the school. Anya's interview for the lightning round interview.
It is.
It's absurd.
It is like, it is so.
It's so good.
Like, okay, so it is. It's. I couldn't remember a similar feeling to that, like, until I was just like, oh yeah, that's right. When Light Yagami was sitting at the computer and he was just like, I take a potato chip and eat it. It's like the same sort of like ridiculous like investment into, you know, what is your parenting style? What do you think of your mother? You know, like, what
which
is
mother do you prefer?
Which mother do you
prefer? The old mother or the new mother?
Which, and I mean, the thing is, I wanted to punch that guy in the face. And you're like actually like proud of Twilight at the moment for like showing restraint and punching the mosquito and his fist through the desk. But yeah, I mean, like, it's all of these things that we're describing, him splitting a block oak tree desk coffee table thing in half with his fist because this ridiculous professor was pressing him super hard, his family super hard about their dynamic because he was having a divorce. And it's like, it's absurd situational drama that arises naturally from a ridiculous setup, but this, like, there's equal levels of drama and humor in it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's just very much just the kind of show that makes you remember what the magic of anime is. And it's also the kind of show where it's just like, yeah, genre wise, I just never thought I would really watch it. But I heard so many people hyping it to me. I was like, all right, we got it. Because over the top and mundane. That's what anime does to us. Like the mashup of stuff that's like over, it's 50% over the top and then 50% the most mundane kitchen table type stuff, you know?
Like in the fifth episode, managing to take the premise of, did Anya pass her entrance interview or not, and managing to commandeer a castle on an island and fill it with 300 agents playing this charade about a TV show that Anya likes, where that involves pyrotechnics, non-live rounds of ammunition. I mean, like, there's like speed boats and helicopters. It's ridiculous. But I mean, like, it's all just, you know, that so she can have like a really good, you know, evening.
Yeah.
Or so they can have a really good fun time together as a family. And it's wonderful.
It is.
It just really leans into how ridiculous it is. Yeah.
But yeah, for now, Spy Family, you know, spring release, simulcast, started airing in April, right? Yeah, we'll keep watching it. Like, this is tight. This is like the kind of anime that I miss watching. I'm sort of like in and out of streaming anime at this point, honestly. Yeah, I don't know. I'm probably going to have, look, I have like a week and a half off work soon. I might try to catch up on some stuff. And in fact, we, you and I, on this episode, are talking about another series from the same studio, Wit Studio. This is on your recommendation. And Eric Thurm texted me about it too, but like...
Yeah, bro, like that was my shit. For weeks.
Yo, I actually like Spy Family a lot, but I'm not all the way through Ranking of Kings, but I love this show and I want to talk about it with you, and we will talk about it after the break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Micah, talk to me about Ranking. I'm so late to this compared to when I first saw your Instagram video about Ranking of Kings, and I only finally got around to it, bro.
Oh, I just put the fight between Apis and who's Snake Master? Snake Master Bebbing. Yeah, Snake Master Bebbing. So, Ranking of Kings.
This show
in which there are people named Apis and Snake Master Baby. I'm sorry. All right. I'm going to actually be serious about it. Ranking of Kings is a show about a boy who would be king, but is, you know, apparently totally unequipped to be king. Kind of like a literal babe in the woods. Boji looks like a little like waifu doll. Like it's crazy. Like it's little. Like he's just a little. Like is he's just got. He's,
look at
he's
those little
just
cheeks.
Two concentric circles, with just drawn together with like yeah. He's just pinchable cheeks. You know, pinchable cheeks is Boji's character feature. He can't talk. He can't swing a sword. He'll never grow. He'll never get stronger because of a curse that was placed on him from birth. Because his dad, King Bose, like the headphones. And you gotta say the whole thing because there's also King Bo, like who is like basically not the king of the underworld, because that's King. There are basically a bunch of small regions butted up against each other, and each of them has a monarchy. And among those monarchies, there is a sort of AP style ranking.
Yep.
Where like there is
US News and World
Imagine
Report.
Like the character that goes around like in fucking Al Pacino's casino in Ocean's 13 and is like, you know, scoring him on whether he's gonna get the Five Diamond Award. There's a character like that in Ranking of Kings that goes around into these kingdoms and, you know, takes the body mass index of the most vulnerable citizens and, like, you know, goes and drinks at the, you know, the nicest pub and also sees how far the king can throw a log, and all these things factor into a king's and his kingdom's ranking. So King Bose, like the headphones, is king number one currently, but he's dying at the beginning of the show. And Boji and Dida, his two sons, are, you know, princes, kings in waiting, but Dida is obviously the more prepared of the two. He has the most training, the most savoir faire, the most charisma, but like none of the discernment. Fuck that kid. He's such a dick. You know, like there's no reason Draco for him to Malfoy be like he is, energy. You know, like Draco Malfoy ass. Yeah, it's just anyway, like Boji is just sort of hapless. I don't know, but like, you know, not really bothered by it at all. And meets a lot of interesting characters on the way to eventually becoming king. That's the short version.
Well, the most important being Kage, like the Street Fighter character.
The most important being Kage. Yeah. Kage is a shadow, a shade, one of the persecuted people because they were assassins for King Bo. And his family, his mother, everyone he knew, was wiped out by this order of like white knights, Templar knight people. I don't know. I haven't read the manga and I don't really know the lore of it. And they don't really revisit it in the show. As far as I know, I mean, like email in if I like missed it. And also if you know, but it felt like that part wasn't really like wrapped up, and maybe they'll get to that in season two. But anyway, Boji and Kage, you know, Puff and Mace, Missy and Timbaland.
It's more like Mace and Cam is what I would say. Mace and Cam are maybe. But I see what you're saying.
Yeah. They are best friends, inseparable. They find home in each other. All those sappy things you want to say, you can say them, and you will say them by the end of like the first or second episode when like, you know, he comes to him and he's just kind of like, hey man, I'm with you forever, because everybody leaves Boji in the lurch. I cannot say that enough. Like, it is everybody leaves Boji in the lurch except for Kage.
Yeah. Can I emphasize that? Because the way you set this up, right? You emphasize that, like, pinchable cheeks, check, right? Naive, check. This little boy, this little would-be boy
kid. Speechless, so you can project whatever you want onto him.
The adults,
check.
You know, everybody else in his life signs for him. The more sympathetic people sign for him because he has trouble with speech. He doesn't speak. He has trouble sort of interpreting people, or at least that's what you sort of, the impression you get is like the kid is just not all there. And, you know, the animation style too with this show, right? It's very disarming. It's that kind of cute where it's a little shibi, right?
It's almost, it's almost Disney-fied. Yeah. Like the edges are very rounded. Like the character models are very smooth. Like it's like, it feels like, Friar Tuck from like the Fox Robin Hood movie could walk into the show, is what it feels like.
To me, it feels like maybe the softer Miyazaki or the softer Ghibli movies to me sometimes.
Yeah,
And it has the whole fairy tale thing going for it, right? And because of that, I think you could go into the first, I'll speak for myself, right? I went into the first episode. I'm like, oh, this art style, okay, this is playing a little younger. This is like, this is going to pop off with the 12-year-olds, right? That's how I was going into it, right? It's like.
And then.
But that's the thing. That's how they get you in the beginning. In the beginning, they get you with that like childish animation style. And then you start watching this and you're like, first of all, it's the fact that in the first two episodes of the show, they talk so much shit on his boy's name They say so much. They are talking crazy to this boy. This little boy.
Everybody, like, to his face.
To his face.
Like, to his face. And, like, it becomes a point that Boji, you know, walks through town. And it's like, you know that he has some way. You as a viewer know that he has some way of understanding everybody, though they seem to be confident in that they can say whatever in front of him because he'll never be able to understand. Because his face reddens, you know, like his smile gets a little more forced. Yeah. Like, you know, like a little bit of steam comes from his
ears.
They
animate that stuff so well.
But he weathers it. They animate the stuff so well. Like, and like, it's, you can tell that he has some way of understanding, you know, and that it takes a toll, but what else is he going to do? So, I mean, like, you're rooting for him immediately. But even the people that claim to love him most betray him in really big ways. Small ways in the beginning and small and noticeable ways in the beginning, but then in big ways really fast.
Yeah, you know what it's like? It's like, you remember back in the day when you remember the first time you ever heard Nas, Ether? And the part of that song where he's like pissed on me, shitting on me, distant, forgotten. It's like, that's what Boji is. Boji is still Matic era Nas, but he's
come
smiling.
Up is so crazy. The come up is so crazy though.
Oh my God.
It's actually unfair and, you know, like a little bit canonically, you know, iffy, but you know what? It's so crazy. And it's. You're like, yes.
Yeah, it's just this sort of like fairy tale with these really sort of jarring undertones to it. Like, it reminds me a lot. I don't think you've watched it, but like Revolutionary Girl Utena, right? Which is like, or like Princess Tutu.
I actually haven't.
Princess Tutu is another example of it.
I haven't watched either of
where
those.
Where it's like, it sort of disarms you with this kind of like traditional fairy tale type setup. And then just tonally, it goes to these places that are like, oh, goddamn. Well, goddamn.
Places you didn't expect.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
and
like,
that feel
it
hard.
Gets dark.
Yeah,
like,
sharp and hard.
Things are lost. Yeah. People are broken and reforged, yes. You know? I got to write those two shows down because I haven't watched either of those.
Yeah. For this tutu, yeah. Like, they remind me, this show reminds me of that a lot so far. And like I said, you're obviously further along than I am in it. But yeah, I'm like, I'm taking with it. I'm taking with it a lot, man.
Yeah, it's yeah, I mean, like, it is a rush of not only like earnestness, but like also like inspiration. I think I've said that like a couple of things these past episodes, but like, it's like, things, there are sequences in the show that are so crisply animated that, I mean, like, there's this part where, like, you already understand what happens to Dido, mm-hmm. and the place that he finds himself in. Mm-hmm. You know, when he wakes up in that dimension, and there are just kind of like, there's a long cut of him just kind of freaking out and then finally accepting where he is. And then once he sits down, you see him like exhale, and there's like that breath. You remember that panel?
Mm-hmm.
It's very like, well, it's just everything in the show is just so sharp and like well thought out.
Yeah.
Except for maybe like the way that it wraps it, that it resolves its story. Like, I don't know, man. You'll see.
Oh, that's nice to hear. Cause yeah, I actually think that the layering, the sort of like the, I don't know. I think a lot of the weaving in of history and stuff, or I guess we'd call them flashbacks, right? Like, I think a lot of that stuff is, it feels like a really well-composed narrative is what I'd say, right? Like,
yeah.
And it kind of requires that because you're just sort of setting up like a lot of characters where you're not sure even where they're going with these individual characters, and you sort of have to get their backstories.
Who they are, why they're there, where they're going. Yeah, it's a lot. It's like just a lot of names that you kind of just got to accept really early.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, you know, that's also anime. That's just anime bullshit.
I don't know. Like, what else are you, what other series? Like, we talked about, like I said, we're going to keep watching. I'm going to keep watching Ranking of Kings.
You haven't watched Tokyo Revengers yet, have
you? I haven't. No, you recommended that way back. I haven't watched Tokyo Revengers.
I did tell you about that. But I think also, just because we were talking about Spy Family earlier, it's also sort of having that Demon Slayer, Chainsaw Man, Attack on Titan.
Bro, we haven't even.
Where it's top. It's like, you know, it's a top seller. Like, the manga is a top seller, both, you know, North America and Japan. I mean, that's what I mean. Like, in grouping it in that company. But Tokyo Revengers is like, I mean, like, was number one for a very is or was number one for a very long time, and that show is just nuts, man. Like, it's. I can't even describe to you the twists and turns that show takes on its ridiculous premise. But yeah, we should do Tokyo Revengers too. It's sort of like this. I haven't watched it in a while myself, okay. But it's the setup is that this guy, this 29, 30 something, never going to be manager at a video store, wakes up one morning and sees that a school classmate has died on TV, like somebody that he never asked out on a date but always had a huge crush on. And like, somehow he gets involved with the case over her death because he knows her brother, who happens to be a detective, and discovers some sort of magical power that allows him to go back in time and also loop the days so that he can infiltrate the triad so that he can prevent her death down the line. But then that uncovers this whole, you know, crime network that he needs to dismantle. And it's like, it somehow it's all centered around like his sophomore to senior years in high school. I couldn't neatly explain that to you if I tried, but it is compelling and soapy.
Tokyo Revengers. What did you watch it on?
That would have also been on.
Or I guess what I'm really trying to ask is like, okay, maybe we do an episode where we talk about it. How much I got to catch up with. How many hours of anime are we talking about with Tokyo Revengers?
Only the first season is out. Only the first season is out.
Okay, so something sensible, reasonable.
Yeah, you know, it's you can do it. You can do the thing. I believe in you.
And
I gotta get on Crunchyroll and watch it. You know, just you got time. You got, like you said.
I'm obliged, Micah, as somebody who, and again, at this point, we don't have to get into any more of my medical saga, as dedicated listeners of this podcast will know. I can't really go to a movie theater right now for a variety of reasons, or at least I shouldn't. There's a lot going on. I'm getting married. There's a lot of things happening right now. All that to say, I don't have time to go see Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Did you see it? Do you have a book report for this podcast and its audience about this
movie? I was watching two of my friends from college get married this week.
Oh, that's right.
No,
you ain't have time.
I did not have time to go see the Multiverse.
You had a doctor's note then, didn't you? You too had a doctor's note out of this movie. Okay. I've read some.
We
love you, Benedict Cumberbatch. The last couple seasons of Sherlock were poo poo, but you know, otherwise, I'm happy to see you escape this prison.
We might get like, design. Listen, I'm gonna go see The Northman. You know, that will be my book report to you.
Okay. We should do that. That should be a thing. We should do book reports on this shit, on the pod. That should be a type of segment we can design. Yeah,
you know.
The shit that the other co-host didn't really want to watch. And so one co-host took it for the team and report back. and you blew up the font. You put the Helvetica in 12, but with the 1.15 spacing.
Yeah, but, you know, like, I think that's got to be something that, you know, you lose during the week at something, and then you have to do that in the next thing. Like, you know, okay, I don't know. We'll make it like a... Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Book report.
That's all I got. I mean...
We'll draw lots. Yeah.
There's no other, like I said, people have actually been writing into us about anime. Although people have recommended anime that I've already watched. People who emailed us in response to our poll for anime recommendations. See, the thing is, like, we should have specified, like, I'm looking for stuff from the past few seasons. Because it's like, people are getting into the bag of recommending their favorite anime. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm 34. I've seen it. I love a lot of the stuff people emailing me about. But I've seen it, bro. I've seen it, too. You know, I'm looking at here right now. What they recommend? Oh, no, somebody recommended music. They said the Kamazi. I haven't listened to the last Kamazi Washington album. But yeah, you know, people got the Demon Slayer. You know, we talked about this on the pod. You know, there's a lot of stuff in here. But yeah, new anime. We should clarify new anime from the past few years.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah,
all your
also,
little isekai.
I wanted to say directly. To Matthew Brongen, who, like, you know, wrote in about Elden Ring after I went on a blind tirade about it when it came out. I am literally four bosses from the conclusion of this
game. Oh, where
game.
Are you? Wait, where are you? Beat Godskin Duo. Congratulations.
I beat the Godskin Duo. Oh, yeah. I rinsed them niggas in three tries. I think it was just because I was running around with dual bleed katanas and, like, they're really weak to slash damage. But, like, right now, like, I'm at Malekith the Black Blade because I was beating my head against the Draconic Sentinel in front of him for a solid hour before I was just like, you know what? But I was just kind of like, I texted you first. So I was just kind of like, man, do I have to do this? Like, and it was just like, you were like, you know what? Nah, I just ran past him. I took a deep breath and I was just like, I choose to see this for what it is, a distraction. And I ran in there and I got my ass beat by Malekith for the next hour. But then I got pretty close.
The frustrating thing about Malekith too is like that first phase, he's just running around. You're like, okay, this is sensible.
He's just running around throwing rocks.
In the second phase, you know, he starts doing anime
little
backflips.
He starts teleporting around the arena and jumping backwards off of shit.
Lightning everywhere.
You know, lightning is going everywhere and I'm on fire all of a sudden. Yeah, it's like nah, man. And then I wake up after I die and I still don't have my full health bar back. That's the most chilling thing. That's the most chilling thing. Yeah. Like, it's every single time.
Yeah. It's like,
but you know what,
Malekith?
I got some for your ass this week.
You're almost there.
I got some for your ass.
You're almost there. You're almost at the end of Elden Ring. I was on a third playthrough before I'm not near my PC now, so tragically. I think that's like all we got. You know, we would ask for more mailbag stuff, but like we're gonna we're recording that maybe in advance just because, like I said, I'm out. I'm getting married. Next time y'all hear from me. I'll be married person, married man, you know, masculinity.
Wow.
That's kind of what I thought about while I was watching Ranking of Kings. It's just like, I felt so irrationally defensive of Boji. I was just sitting there. I was like, this little boy.
No.
I want to protect this fucking boy.
It is not like,
boy.
It's not irrational
at all.
You're right,
it's not irrational, but it's just,
not
it's
irrational
so
at all. It's not irrational
visceral.
At all. It really is visceral. Like, it is difficult. Again, like we were talking about this with the Demon Slayer movie, with Mugen Train, with how it like achieves that kind of unachievable anime thing of you of a conclusion or something being so unjust on screen that you want to jump through and beat another character's ass. That this Ranking of Kings pulls that off gracefully.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, I guess the thing that's impressive about Ranking of Kings is like, it's one thing to make you get sort of in your feelings and protective of a child. It's like in this show, though, I felt that way 2 minutes into watching the show. I already felt like I have to protect this naive boy battered by forces so much larger than him. You know what I mean? That's where my head was at.
He's so small and squishy. He's
just, stop it. Everybody get away from him. Oh, no. My God, that's all I got. That's all I got. Listeners, email us, please. soundonlypod@gmail.com. Anime recommendations, mailbag. Although, like I said, we may not get it in time. I don't know. Depends. Wedding gifts. Send me a blender. Whatever you got. I'm Justin Charity.
And I'm Micah Peters.
Shouts out to our producer, Stefan Anderson. We'll see y'all next week.